Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. What does it take to get a person to see someone else in need? Or harder still, what does it take to get a person to recognize his or her responsibility to care for the well-being of others? Listen now from the Gospel according to Luke. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm, a chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can come across from there to us." And he said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we and the whole world depend so completely on your grace. May the healing power of your unmerited favor toward us overcome whatever we face today, whatever we worry about for tomorrow. Come now, Holy One, bridge the gap within our souls that we may respond to all humanity with care and mercy as well. Amen. When my youngest son, Derek, I haven't spoken a whole lot about him. He lives up in Gloucester, Massachusetts. He is a mountain biker. He's been doing this since he was about 18 years old, much to my chagrin. It's a hard one to wrap your arms around as a mother. But now he's in his 40s, and I watch video of him on Facebook made by fellow bikers of some of his daring rides. I hold my breath as I see the jumps he makes down the trails. He's learned to skillfully maneuver the bike over rocks and huge gaps as well on the trail. You know, gaps that seem impossible to me, and he makes it look so easy to do this. He just does it. And I've learned long ago to let go of my fears about this, as I realized that he actually really does trust his ability to do this. In life, there are so many gaps. The gaps that would cause us to say things, and if only I knew then what I know now, I would have. Right? I see some heads nodding. Some of you know that. I know that I know those words. Have you ever regretted a course of action or words you have spoken, and once you've gained experience or knowledge about the subject and saw the consequences more clearly? Have your eyes ever been open to a new perspective which changed everything about how you viewed or judged reality previously? Classic comments I hear go something like this. If I knew then what I know now, I would not have been so shy. Or I would not have cared so much what everyone else thinks of me. Or I would have spent more time with my mom before she died. Or I would have chosen a different vocation. Or I would have, well, you fill in the blank. So that is one strand that is alive in this story today. The rich man protesting that if he only had more understanding, then things would have been different. Bridging gaps seems like such a challenge, and it does indeed require godly skills. Another common refrain at the heart of this gospel reading, and which I know well because I have so often said this to myself, is, why didn't he or she or they do something? What were they thinking? Why did that parent turn their back for only a second and that little boy vanished? How could that friend not see such obvious signs of depression? How could that coworker not know that man was capable of violence before he destroyed people in the office? How could we walk by cold, hungry, disheveled, homeless folks on the street whose faces are slightly turned from us and do nothing about it? I saw that every day when I was in Hartford. Why are we not doing more to control the riots and the violence that we see in our cities all over our country? Why? Maybe it was because we didn't know what to do. Or because we had so much going on in our own lives that we were just too busy, too overwhelmed to notice. Because anything we could do or did do would only be a drop in the bucket compared to how big these needs are in the world. Because we think that there are others who have more responsibility for those needs than we do. Because we may feel people pretty much get what they deserve in life. Because we are too preoccupied with our own relationship to God to see the heart of God in the face of others. And then maybe because there's just too deep and wide of a gap between us and those who are desperately needing our attention. Well, maybe it's all of the above. A gap has been fixed, we read, in heaven and is in place. Great. Now what? The rich man suffering in the flames of Hades saw the gap right in front of him. You know, hell is pretty hot. At least that's what we read. The heat was so hot that he asked the Lord to send Lazarus to quench his thirst. But it cannot be done because there is this gap that cannot be bridged there between you and us as a great gap that has been fixed. Well, who fixed that gap? I wonder. God for punishment? Lazarus for payback? What if neither of these things are true? What if the gap was fixed by the rich man himself, the result of years of turning a blind eye to Lazarus? of avoiding relationship with him and others like him, the result of preoccupation with the self, the result of always seeking to spend time with people like him rather than those who are different, and the result of focus on his own material well-being and worldly comfort and security. If that were the case, would he be much different than you and me? Yet there are gaps that we can take care of and gain skills in right now. The gap of our community needs as we see them. We have great needs right here in Southbury. Outside of the needs of food and shelter, there is the need to build up families whose time between work and responsibilities of raising children is limited. I saw that yesterday, actually. When you really talk to families as they come in with children and the busyness of their lives, you see, they are not coming to church, but they are longing for something. And I want to name those longings as the three B's: belonging, becoming, and beyond. The Reverend Susan Townsley puts it this way: belonging then is the need to be deeply loved. We all want to belong, even those who are not here this morning. Belonging. Becoming is growing into the people we are called to be, having purpose and meaning in life. And beyond is experiencing ourselves as part of something bigger, something more. Now, if you agree that the three B's are true for all of us, which I think they are, the question I have for us today is, how will we bridge the gap today? How might the three B's help us to create new ministries in the gaps that we see? And what will we do to bridge those gaps? Those of us retired from jobs and children grown up and thought we were finished with teaching and nurturing families and children, maybe not. Maybe we're not retired from that. The three B's tell us that we are not retired at all, and probably never will be until we leave this planet. How will we, in our retirement years, help to bridge this gap, create new ministries? You were created, you see, for such a time as this. As long as you are walking and breathing, you are created for such a time as this. It's not over. Evangelism, revitalization, transformation of the people who are around us counts. We still are about that as the people of God. We cannot look to anyone but God to answer and discern how to do this as we pray together. And that's hard. I know it's hard work as we discern. We just seem to want someone else to do it, but we can't do that. We are called to do it now, just where we are in this stage of our lives. We in American culture, you know, we get so comfortable behind gated communities, separated neighborhoods according to economic status, education, race, or origin. We, with our propensity to let government do it all, nonprofit agencies do it all, reach across the gap to help those who are in need. We, Jesus teaches, are building gaps that eventually might become too deep and wide to bridge when we turn it over to others to do what I think we are being called to do. We simply no longer see the Lazarus at the gates. But how was the rich man to know that gap would have eternal consequences? And how are we to know? If reaching across all the lines of division and need is so important to the Lord, why wouldn't God just open our eyes right now, right today, in our spirits and make it clear what we're supposed to do? Maybe this little personal story that I'm going to share with you might help us clarify that a little. When my daughter, Lindsay, was 4 years old, she asked me, "Mama, if God didn't want Eve to pick that apple off the tree, why didn't God put a fence around it?" Why indeed? And make no mistake, Adam was right there with her. Okay? He saw her do it. You see, it was her first lesson, my daughter's first lesson, in the fact that, you see, God lets us choose. Choose to obey. Choose to have joy. Choose to love. Choose to call the little ones. Choose to seek peace in this world. We have a choice every single day. The rich man did, but he ignored it. When we ask why, it seems to put the blame on God. Or in the case of Adam and Eve, the blame the other person, right? We seem to ask why when we want to challenge God's wisdom. We ask why to avoid responsibility. We ask why as we sit and say, "I'm done, let them do it." It's even more amazing, the effects of this gap. For the rich man so misses the point that he does not grasp how outrageous it is to place responsibility for comforting him and providing a warning to those like him square on the back of the marginalized, hurting people like Lazarus. Send Lazarus to dip the finger in the water and cool my tongue. Send Lazarus to go back and warn my brothers. And the Lord recognized the fact that it is totally unacceptable, and he is doubtful. What? Are you kidding me? You and your brothers have all you've ever needed to see both the heart of God for the poor and the consequences of ignoring the needs of those in distress. So it was for the rich man in this parable. But what about us? What does it take for us to listen and hear God's heart? Someone rising from the dead? That already happened. Jesus did that. And so many turn away from the face of need and fail to bridge the gap. But wait a minute, you say. We know inspiring stories of those who haven't turned away. Some of the heroes and heroines of this story may even be right here in this room. I read it in the amazing history of this church, that little book that was on the table there. I hope people picked up that little book. It's an amazing little book. I liked reading it. I saw those who organize and volunteer in homeless shelters. I saw those who work to see that all people get enough to eat. I saw those who reach across into the soup kitchens and give sandwiches, and those who work tirelessly for health care for those who have no insurance, those who move into distressed neighborhoods and embrace all people as their neighbors. I saw that with you. I saw that our youth served in the homeless, with the homeless and hungry in New York City at one point. I saw those who fight for every child's right to get a quality education, and the list goes on and on. South Britain Congregational Church has had partnerships with the Southbury Food Bank, and still do, with the Southbury Food Bank, Greater Waterbury Interfaith Ministries, Covenant to Care, and Youth Services. And I would say there's probably more that I didn't read in there. And I would also say that those of us today in this church who tirelessly served yesterday at an apple festival for the benefit and love of this community, yes, you are reaching into the community. And I am thrilled. Many have overcome the gaps in this life and in this church. And so surely in the next life as well. With them, may we discern the challenge that comes to us from the words of Moses and the prophet and from this parable of Jesus. For it is not enough for us to wonder, if I only knew then what I know now, or even why didn't the rich man do something the gospel demands. May we begin with evangelism, through revival and spiritual renewal. That was, as I read, and remains to be, a large part of who we are in this church. Evangelism. What will it do to help meet the pressing needs? The pressing needs to help people belong, to become, and beyond, to enter into something greater and bigger than life in their lives. Amen.